to explain more in details the idea of beauty over power?
I hope so. I hope I can. Actually, I never know, because the operating principle in spiritual life, we hear from the beginning, is pleasing guru. We heard that from day one. It's true on day two and every day in between and up to the present and into the future. Like we sang the song, Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasadad Nagati Katopi, Dayam Stuvam Stasya Yasastri Sandyam Bande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. That part saying, Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasada Nagati Katopi. Without pleasing Guru, you won't get any real result, any substantial result. And only by pleasing Guru does a disciple have any position, really, spiritually. It's not our own achievement. It's not something we came with. It's none of those things. So as I've told many times, but it never ceases to amuse and amaze me, is when I would visit with Mangal Maharaj in Kolkata and say, "Oh, Maharaj, how are you today?" And he'd say, "I don't know." And I know what he means is, or he'd say, "You know that." And he's paraphrasing the Bengali saying, and this is where we need Gopal. But alas, no Gopal. Gopal, Gotai, Gopal. There's what they say. You don't know that saying? Anyway, it translates as you keep me. When Vaishnavas say, "How are you?" Everybody in the world says, "How are you?" And somebody says, there's some answer you give. And yeah, your mercy. And China, they say, "Ni hao." And you see that on signs over here, "Ni hao." But they're saying, Apnakrit means your mercy. And what they mean to say, or as you keep me, my position is based upon your estimation of me. This is very different. It's the opposite of secular humanism, which puts forth the notion, you know, believe in yourself, you're number one. I mentioned the modern advertising is saturated with humanistic sloganeering. And what do I mean by that? Like Nike, just do it. Right? What does that mean? Just do it. It implies there's some conscience you have, some self-restraint that you an internal process you go through before you decide to do something. They're saying, don't listen to it. Don't think about it. Just do it. Right? Why? I have a series of ads that answer these questions. So Nike makes that proposal. Who gives the answer? L'Oreal. Because I'm worth it. Why should I just do it? Because I'm worth it. That's why. Right? But of all the ads I ever saw, the most blatant, like just naked assertion of humanistic sloganeering was from a company whose slogan was total indulgence, zero guilt. It was about Weight Watchers. It doesn't matter what it was about, but that was, they had the audacity to make that their slogan. Total indulgence, zero guilt, no conscience, just indulge without conscience. Who does things without conscience? Generally, they're called animals. Right? The animals, they're not crying when they are eating the babies of others. They're not stopping to think, oh, these babies are so cute. Why should we do this? Never. Right? There was a YouTube video recently where they say, after this lioness killed like a deer, and then it took the calf, and all the people went, ah, look, she's taking the little deer calf back to her place. And someone else pointed out, yes. And after playing with it for a while, as cats do, she'll eat it. They'll kill it and offer it to her children. So a lack of conscience, of considering why we do things, self-restraint, what Solzhenitsyn, Alexander Solzhenitsyn called in his famous World Split Apart address, said what is needed is serene, voluntary self-restraint. Serene, voluntary self-restraint. That's interesting. You could say that's the definition of tapasya, as Srila Prabhupada used to say and has in his Bhagavatam purports. What is tapasya? Voluntarily inconveniencing oneself for the sake of spiritual realization. You will be inconvenienced by living in this world. We will have to suffer by living in this world. It's inevitable, it's unavoidable. But a spiritually progressive person will voluntarily inconvenience themselves, will voluntarily undergo certain types of quote-unquote suffering for the sake of spiritual advancement. Not for the sake of material gain. That's called shraddha, faith in the mode of passion. In the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about three different types of faith. Mundane faith, faith within the realm of the modes of nature. Tamogun, religion, Rajagun, religion, Sattvagun, religion. Tamogun, or he talks about charity, many different things, like giving in charity, saying, giving to the wrong person at the wrong time and the wrong place for the wrong reason. That's charity in the mode of ignorance. Giving in anticipation of reward, like I'll do this, but I've heard if someone does this, so much good will come to them, accrue to them. That's charity in the mode of passion. Passion always has this type of mundane calculation involved of self-gain, self-reward. And what is in the mode of goodness? That something should be done because it's the right thing. It should just be done without any consideration of how I'll benefit from that. As Guru Maharaj told me, there were a story, three thieves. And one thief predominated by ignorance, one thief predominated by passion, one thief predominated by goodness. And they take this man out in the middle of the woods and they rob him. And the thief in the mode of ignorance says, let's kill him now that we got what we want. The one in the mode of passion says, we don't need to do that. Let's just leave him here and go. And the one in the mode of goodness, thief so-called, he says, yeah, but if we leave him here, he doesn't know his way back. He could get hurt, whatever. Why don't we just take him back to where we found him, you know, in a safe area, and then go? So, but what are we interested in? Nirguna plane. The nirguna plane will not be an object of our experience to serve our lower purpose. We're offering ourselves in service to the higher plane. So when the Vaishnavas inquire, how are you? They say, as you see me, taking it that the other Vaishnava is in a superior position. A devotee never thinks that they are a devotee, but they're thinking others are devotees. So saying, Vaishnavi pratishta tati koro nishta. As the Vaishnavas think of me, that's what my position is. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, etc. So by pleasing guru, then there's the possibility of being useful. Otherwise, Guru Maharaj said, we are like lifeless clay without being infused with serving. We're trying to, we say, pranipatena to offer ourselves, the highest aspect of ourselves, in service to the least aspect of the higher plane. Pranipat, parina, prajna, and to inquire out of what? Seva, service necessity. So before we will answer anything, say anything, we'll remember the lotus feet of Sri Guru and pray and offer ourselves in service as a medium. As Guru Maharaj said, why do we offer flower to the book before having the class or speaking? We're offering ourselves in service as agents to the book. The book, although passively posing as a book or any other type of media, is really spiritually conscious substance looking for an agent to pass through in distribution. So the Vaishnavas, they're offering themselves in service to the book, not taking what is in the book to serve some lower purpose. So what was the question? It was about what? Oh, beauty over power. Where does that come from? It comes from Guru Maharaj. And if you read in the beginning of the search for Sri Krishna, it's very beautiful. I mean, I got to place it there. Why did it appear there? Did I put it there? Or was I used by something, a higher power, to place it there? I would subscribe to the latter. How? I don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. But Guru Maharaj, offering ourselves in service to him and his conception, something appeared there. So if you look in the very beginning, what does it say? Beauty is the ultimate controlling principle. It's greater than power. So thematically, Guru Maharaj, he has certain themes, seed concept themes that he revisits continuously. One is form versus substance, or substance over form. Right? Beauty over power. Mercy over justice. Heart over intellect. He has a consistent system. So talking about beauty over power means, which is a greater force? Beauty, or what we generally conceive of as power? So there are so many examples in history of the most powerful man coming under the sway of a beautiful girl. There are historic examples of this all over the world, north, south, east, and west. The most powerful man comes under the control of the beauty of a young girl. That's an example of beauty over power. When people conceive of God, they think the highest conception of God generally is the creator who created the world and the universes, and always creator. And we had this discussion in China, how in Krishna conception, creation is a secondary function. Krishna is not directly involved in creation. What is he doing? Play. And you say, deva moi. You know what deva means? The general word for deva means God. Deva, devi, God, goddess. But not when applied to Krishna. What deva means is playful. And not only playful, but divine love pastimes, that type of play. Divine love play. That's who one is called deva. Deva Moyi means Srimati Radharani, who is supplying all the divine love play to Krishna. It is about Madhura Rasa. Krishna, creation is a secondary function performed by a part of a part of a part of his expansion with his eyes half closed. Like we say in this world, when people think there's something, they go, I can do that with my eyes closed. Yeah, you can do that with your eyes closed. Like the two Russian pilots who made a bet. You know about this? One Russian pilot said, I can land this plane with my eyes closed. Well, things didn't go as planned. So they either crashed or overshot the runway. But it's generally an expression. I can do this with my eyes closed. You can do those kind of things, or maybe not. Maha Vishnu generates innumerable universes out of his pores with his eyes half closed, half asleep. He's lying in yoga nidra with his eyes half closed, half asleep, and his glance is personified as Shambhu Shiva, full of the sum total of jivas, and they're impregnated in the material nature. While he's doing this, what is it? Yashaya condition, Tavalamba. No, that's another one. Vishnur Mahan, Kalavi Shesho, Brahma Sangita, Vishnu, Yashaika. I can't recall the sloka right now. But so in his outward going breath, 150 trillion years, innumerable universes appear. He can do it with his eyes closed. While Krishna's playing with the gopas and gopis and Vrindavan, that's beauty over power. There are many examples of beauty over power. Krishna over Ramachandra, Krishna over Vishnu. The ultimate conception of the ultimate reality is beauty. And as Guru Maharaj says there, beauty is the ultimate controlling principle. So the Mahavishnu steals that Brahmin's boy. Why? We find out in the Bhagavatam. He wants to see Krishna, the beauty of Krishna. How to get Krishna to come? He stole the boy and he's keeping him there. You think such a cruel thing to do? And Krishna and Arjuna go through all the layers of the universe and then I just wanted to see your beauty, my Lord. Should we think Vishnu is not beautiful? Inconceivably beautiful? But what was the sloka of the day? Sarva Bhuta Chamatkara Lila Kala Lavaradi Atulya Madhura Prema Mandita Priyamandala Tri Jagan Manasa Karshi Murali Kala Kujita Kujita. And it sounds very beautiful. Murali, Krishna's flute. Murali Kala Kujita Tri Jagan Manasa Karshi Murali Kala Kujita Vish. Mahapita, what is it? Asaman Ordva Rupa Sri. Asaman Ordva, no one equals his beauty. Not Vishnu, not Rama, not Dwaraka Krishna. Dwaraka Krishna sees a picture and says, I was so beautiful when I was younger in Vrindavan. Like in this world. And someone says, oh. I told my cousin, who's my age, she told my mom, I won't say her age, because somehow over the years, there's like 10 years separating us, even though we were born in the same year. Anyway, she said to my mother, looking at, and my mom is 93, she doesn't mind me saying that. But so my cousin said to her, Aunt Rose, let's look at some pictures when we used to look good. When we used to be beautiful. So Krishna also has a version of that. We say, oh, I was so beautiful in Vrindavan. Now these days, maybe put on a little weight in Dwaraka. It's hard to say. But, or he sees his own beauty and a jeweled column and says, who is so beautiful that now I'm starting to feel the same feelings as Radhika? So even Krishna is enamored by his own beauty. Asaman Ordva Rupa Sri. the rupa. Rupa means form and rupa means beauty. Rupa Sri, Sri Rupa. And we're telling these slokas are reality. Krishna is Siddhanta. They're not two separate things. Krishna is Siddhanta. Siddhanta is Krishna. The slokas are encapsulated reality. They're real, they're alive, they're living, they're streaming real-time Krishna conception. So Srila Gurudev, he likes so much the one verse from Gita Govinda that appears somewhat in Charitamritam. He liked to sing it sometimes. Like he told, what did he say? Manasa Krishna told, Gurudev said, good for hearing, but not for telling, like not explaining. But it's very beautiful, and it's mentioned when Mahaprabhu would hear this, he would faint. Lalita lavanga lata parishilana kamala malaya samire marukarabi karakarambita ko kilakujita kunja kutire. So the beauty, as given by Jayadev Goswami, if you listen to la 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 ka 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 ka, lalita lavanga lata parishilana kamala malaya samire maru karavi karakaram bitako kila kujita kunja kutire. This is divine sound, divine poetry describing the beauty of Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna. But in Vrindavan, as Guru Maharaj said once, form and substance are one. Normally we're saying, if form and substance, if there is a clash between the two, if they're not congruous, we take substance over form. We sacrifice form to substance. As we were talking, what is the substantial aspect of Guru? The what you can see with your eyes or inner awakenment, inner eye, agyana timrandasya chaksurun militam jena, that eye, awakened eye, can see Guru, Vaishnava, Sadhu, Shastra, revealed truth. So, form versus substance, beauty over power. And Krishna, even if we say that, well, Krishna, if they all assemble in one, Swayam Bhagavan, like the song Avatar Sar, Gaura Avatar, about Mahaprabhu, same thing for Krishna. But that Krishna, whose Tri Jagan Manasa Karshi, attracting everyone, the hearts of everyone, hearts and minds, souls of everyone in the universe with the beautiful sound of his flute. When Sukh and Shari, the parrots, divine parrots, Mahaprabhu is entering the Vrindavan forest, we're told when he's looking at Jagannath and Puri, his ecstasy is inconceivable. He sees Shama Sundar Krishna. Because he's in the mood of Radharani, even seeing Dwarka Krishna, he's seeing Vrindavan Krishna. But when he starts going toward Vrindavan, we're told his ecstasy increased 100 times. When he got there in the forest of Vrindavan, it was increased hundreds and thousands and millions of times. And in that forest, in his divine madness, on his fingers appear the parrots, Sukh and Shari, the male parrot and the female parrot. And the male parrot starts telling about the beauty of Krishna. He's Madan Mohan, Cupid. Everyone's bewildered by Cupid, cupidity. But Cupid is bewildered by seeing the seductive charm, sweetness, and beauty of Krishna. Right? Madan. Madan's the Sanskrit word for Cupid, Mohan. And that's why Srila Guru Maharaj said, the Sambandha Gyanacharya Sanatan Goswami, deity is Madan Mohan, because that means that Krishna conception has the power to break the thing that's keeping us all bound in this world. Madan Mohan, Krishna, can break that. And what? From Madan Mohan to Govindadev to Gopinath. And so break the mundane erotic enslavement and offer entrance into erotic potential in the supreme reality. That's what's hinted at or indicated there. But so when he says Madan, the male parrot's making poetry praising Krishna as Jagam Mohan, who's bewildering the whole universe. And the female parrot says, yes, but Radharani is, Jagam Mohan Mohini. She has the power to capture Krishna. Like Guru Maharaj said, Hare, like Hari, one meaning of Hari is who can steal, thief, take away. So Krishna, he's known as, Makanchor, Chitta Hari, different types of thievery, right? Or mind stealing. Radharani, he said, is the greatest thief. She can steal Krishna. She can steal the mind of Krishna. Sometimes Krishna drops his flute in bewilderment at the beauty of Srimati Radharani. So the female parrot praising Radharani, and then the male parrot, but Krishna, Cupid is bewildered by the beauty of Krishna. And she says, yes, that's true, but only when Radharani is next to Krishna. Otherwise, Krishna himself is under the influence of Cupid, meaning for her, beauty over power. Satchit Anandam, Satcham Shivam Sundaram. Always the highest thing is Anandam Sundaram. And the other things, Jnana Bala Kriya Cha, Bala, power, is in a lower position. And also regarding the other question, Goloka, Gokula. These kinds of questions are exercise the divine meditation of great devotees. And according to their capacity, they express different types of appreciation, realization, or observations. What is the difference between Goloka and Gokula? Conventional understanding is that Gokula is the original, Gokula Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. And that within this world, it's called Prapancha Lila, means while there's a material manifestation of universes, planets, etc., that there's a satellite, an extension of Gokula into this plane called Gokula, from Goloka to Gokula. And the Gokula Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna within this world, they're here for 125 years, they move to the next universe. And what are the difference between the pastimes here and the pastimes there? Only the great spiritual experts, they make some observations in different ways. But Srila Guru Maharaj, in discussing these things with him, he mentioned that perhaps Jiva Goswami, it's perhaps in the Brahma Sangha, Sangita commentaries, another way of seeing, and we find corroborative evidence in the Garga Sangita, when Radharani tells Krishna, when Krishna announces his intentions to descend into the world, remember, once in a day of Brahma, Krishna descends. Radharani says, I'm only going if you take everything we have here with us. Means Vrindavan, Jamuna, Ganga, everything. And she repeats it. She says twice, not replicas or duplicates. What we have to take all of this with us. Right? Not like we'll get new paraphernalia that looks like it. No. All of what we have here will descend with that. Otherwise I'm not going. So this is corroborative supportive evidence that actually mysteriously, mystically, the original is brought into this plane. And a satellite is Goloka. An extension is there. And in this plane, the experience is somewhat enhanced because the infinite is mixing with the finite. The liberated moving amongst the non-liberated. We take it in the spiritual world, everyone is a liberated soul. Vaikuntyer prithivyadi sakala chinmoy. Even the grass, the soul, everything in the spiritual world, there's nothing conditional about it. So there, things that are, how shall we say, for the sake of just expressing this, what is real here is by inference there. For example, demons. In Gokula pastimes, demons appear. You know, Putana, Trinavarta, so many, Aristasura, Kaliya. In Goloka Vrindavan, Guru said, like there may be posters, like sometimes they warn people with posters, rumors. So many things there are by inference, or what's the other word? Illusion. Whereas here, bringing his original here, only liberated souls are participating in everything. Here, it's a mixture of non-liberated finite, the infinite mixing with them. So it adds some extra quality of excitement and intensity. When it comes to separation, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam commentaries that actually union and separation are running in parallel. And this is inconceivable, but this is what he says. So there's one description of in the separation of when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, apparently, that they all ignore themselves, their houses are full of cobwebs, people from a nearby village come and feed them. They become totally dysfunctional and neglect themselves to the extreme, and the whole of Vrindavan, it looks horrible. But he points out, when Uddhava comes, they shift into the other mode. So when he appears, he sees the gopis, they're making butter, and the union manifestation running in parallel to the separation manifestation shifts to give him another experience. And well, these things are all, how does this work? It's inconceivable. So if we talk about here, let me say, 100 years of separation, 125 years of pastimes, and Krishna does the one and a half times growth according to Padma Purana. So when he's 6, he's actually, what is that? 1.5, whatever it is, 9. When he's 12, he's 18, etc. There are many things to factor in. But here we tell 100 years of separation. What are years? What is that time? If they say that the blinking of an eye is the Rasa Leela, we're told there's the expansion and contraction of time and space employed in Krishna Leela. So that night, that evening, Krishna summoned many evenings. So we're told that night was a Brahma Ratri, a night of Brahma. Sahasra Yuga Parjantam Ahor Yad Brahmanovidu. So just to assign a numerical value to it, 8,600,000,000 years. That's the duration of the Rasa Leela. From one perspective. And what is it to the Braja Gopis? It was the blink of an eye. We're so sad. It was over before it started. What does Radharani say in Jagannath Balava Natak of Ramananda? Factoring in these things, she's saying, what I'm going to do the next time, I'm going to worship time. And it's described there very beautifully. Guru Maharaj used to sing this many times. She's the way they, how do you, what is the Vedic system to propitiate someone? You offer them an asan, then they sit on the asan, then you get out the paraphernalia, right? You put the water, wipe their feet, dry the feet, offer the flowers, offer the incense, offer the panch pradeep, do all of these things, like arati. Radharani said, I'm going to do arati to time. Take time, put time on a beautiful throne, asan, and do my arati. And then when time is very happy and propitiated, then I'm going to turn my attention to Krishna. Because the last time, it went like that. It was so fast. So what I have to do is control time. Are we going to try and approach this with our rational minds? If we do, we won't understand anything that she's talking about. But if we will leave our minds at the door, there are some places where you enter, they make you take off your coat and hat, right, and give them to someone, and then you go inside. You have to take off the coverings of the soul, intellect, all these things, leave them at the door. Jnane priyasam rupasana manteva jivan san mukhari bhavaya. Jivanti san mukharidhan bhavadiya bhartam stane stita shruti katam dhanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jito piyasi taistrelokyam. It's Brahma's advice. Leave your mind at the door. Leave your intellect at the door. Don't try to measure him. So the Brahma Ratri was like the blink of an eye. And separation points, expansion, the contraction and expansion of time and space. So when they don't, we're told, when Krishna, if he goes in Vrindavan forest and a tree becomes a devotee who's seeing Krishna, a tree comes between their vision of Krishna and that's intolerable to them. They have heart failure. They say, well, that's just so, it's so brief. The gopis are cursing Brahma for making eyes that blink, because during the blinking, they're not seeing Krishna. In one place, Radharani said, oh, were I to have eyes like a fish that are always open. No, they don't have eyelashes, eyelids. So, and what is that blink of the eye compared to? A day of Brahma. How long is a day of Brahma? 8,600,000,000 years. This is all possible through separation. The huge time is like the blink of an eye. The blink of an eye is like infinite time. So we have to understand something about these principles. We can understand something about Goloka, Gokula, this, that, the other thing. So even in both places, union and separation are running an eternal parallel. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shaktir Asmat Ekatmana Vibhuvi Puram Deham Bedam Katoto. Sometimes they're together as one, Mahaprabhu, then apart, Radha and Krishna, together as Mahaprabhu. Gaura Leela and Krishna Leela running in parallel eternally. Which is first? Gaura Leela, Guru Maharaj says, the gift or the giver? Mahaprabhu is the giver. Which comes first, the gift or the giver? His gifting Krishna Leela. Yata yata gora padara vinde, vinde ta bhaktim krita punya rasi, tata tutot sarpati hridikasmat, radha padamboja sudamburasi. Guru Maharaj will say, Vrindavan is for the highest section of liberated souls. It's why Chaitanya Sarasvat Mat was established in Navadviptam, in Gupta Govardhan. Vrindavan is for the highest section of liberated souls. Krishna Lilamrita Sar Tar Shata Shata Dar Das Dike Baha Jaha Hoite. But then, what is the difference between Krishna Leela and Gaura Leela? Krishna Leela is very, if it's only meant for the highest section of liberated souls, that means how many are excluded? What is Gaura Leela? The magnanimous distribution of Krishna Leela. Krishna Leela Madhurja, Gaura Leela Odarja. Distributing that, Das Dike means 10 directions. North, south, east, west, northeast, north, south, etc. Up, down. So what is generally reserved for the highest section of liberated souls is being extended to the non-liberated section. That's another way of putting it. So what does Prabodhananda say? Tungavidya, Astasaki Tungavidya, should know. Says, then you give your full attention to Gaurapad, the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Nityananda is saying, Bhaja Gauranga. They're trying to tell us how to get entrance into that plane. Give your full attention to the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. Vinde Bhakti Krita Punya Rasi means those who are Sukritivan, Sumedasa, refined theistic intellect. They'll see the entrance to Vrindavan is in Navadvip. The entrance into Krishna Leela is Gaura Leela. And what will happen? He says, if you do that, because who is Mahaprabhu? Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya, Radha Bhava Dyuti, Subalita, Krishna enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani, then tata tatot sarpati hridya kasmat, automatically, subconsciously, deep within the core of your heart, what will appear? The Radha Rasa Shuddha Nidhi. The ocean, nectarine ocean of service to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. That flow will come to your heart. And you'll find yourself awakening in the soil of Vrindavan. And Guru Maharaj said it, one comparison he gave, he said, like, if you get on a flight in New York and you get off in India, That's one example he gave. Another example, he said, like a machine, you put the coin in here and the ticket comes out on the other side. You put your coin, your serving capital in the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu and collect your ticket for Vrindavan. When Guru Maharaj asked Saraswati Thakur some intricate questions, Sanatana Goswami concludes Krishna Leela in this way, Rupa Goswami in another way, how are we to understand this? Saraswati Thakur's answer was, Adhoksaja. Means beyond, it's beyond what can be grasped by the mind, the intellect. Adha Aksaja. Means you have to suppress sense experience. But interestingly, when Uddhava was sent to comfort the Braja Gopis and give them some hope, there the word Adhoksaja means, he told them to, Aksaja means eyes, close your eyes and Krishna will appear. And they're so sweet, all the Braja Gopis close their eyes and Krishna appear. But some of them, in their madness, you know, we all have pupils, which are like irises on a camera. So they thought to close them, otherwise Krishna could get out through the holes of their eyes. He could escape. But they all very sweetly go, oh, Uddhava, you're so wonderful. Uddhava means he makes everyone happy, gives happiness to everyone. So the pastimes of separation are mysterious. Yes, who's going to invite separation? We can only understand it theoretically. If we say absence makes the heart grow fonder, when Krishna separates him from them, to sometimes we see this. If you want a little parallel, I mean a crude example, sometimes people do this in playing with children. Lovers might even do it, but let's stick with children. They put them temporarily into some anxiety, like a naughty uncle or something. They hide them and they go, ah! And then they go, see, I'm here. They want to see them in that intense state of desperation. It's a very crude example, but Krishna, he tells the Gopis, why am I doing it? They're thinking, why are you so cruel? You're supposed to be the person who descended in the world to relieve everybody's suffering and unhappiness. And all we've got from day one meeting with you is unlimited suffering and unhappiness. Is this fair? We're supposed to be your highest devotees and we're in the greatest anxiety, suffering, unhappiness. And then everyone's praising you. You're Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen. You know, what about us? Are we the only people not on the list? How can you do this to us? We live for you and you treat us this way. And Krishna's saying, it's not like that. He has to reveal his internal thinking. But he cannot resist the flow of love in their hearts, and by apparently separating himself from them, a greater depth of love and flow is released, and he can't resist that. And he says, when someone's before you, you see them, they're not so much in your heart and mind. Right? You're looking at their form, seeing, he said, but in their absence, they're fully present in your heart and mind. And he said, so only our physical forms are separated, but actually You're all deep in my heart and soul as I am in yours. Anyway, why did Radharani, after hearing Krishna's confession, summon all the Braja Gopis to return to Vrindavan? Because he said, Mayi bhakti arhibhutanam amritataya kalpate dishtya madashin matsneho bhavatinam marapana. He said, everyone considers themselves supremely fortunate if they get a connection with me. And rightfully so. He's Krishna, of course. It makes sense. Karmis, gyanis, yogis, different types of bhaktas. Same, but I consider myself fortunate that I'm the object of that irresistibly sweet flow of love that's in your hearts. That's my good fortune. Everyone else's good fortune is to get a connection with me. It's my good fortune that I have a connection with you. Then Radharani said, we can go now. It's clear. He always and only belongs to us. Everything else is a show. It says, what, Vrindavanam Paritaja. I can't say it one way because Gurudev doesn't like it that way. But it says Krishna never steps out of Vrindavan, 1 foot out of Vrindavan. So then what is this all about? 100 years of separation. It's mysterious. Sometimes, because Krishna says, I'm only going to Mathura for 2 to 4 days, Vishwanath will say, that's true. It's inconceivable and mysterious. He never leaves Vrindavan. So how is there 100 years of separation? Dwarka Krishna is not Vrindavan Krishna. Vrindavan Krishna doesn't go and live in Dwarka. And he tells them that in that meeting too. He said, actually, by the mercy of Narayan, we're with each other every day. But some will think, oh, Krishna sends an expansion of himself from Dwarka to be with them. But another way of seeing it is that Dwarka Krishna is the expansion. Swayam Bhagavan is only at the right hand of Radharani. Krishna is only fully Krishna with Radharani. Beside any other gopi or any other queen, you know, the Braja Gopi, there was the great Braja Gopis, Mahishi, Dwarka queens, Vaikuntha Lakshmis. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is only fully himself at the side of Radharani. So these are divine pastimes meant to generate, you know, go into the deep heart's core and generate superior substance by apparently being separated from one another. But in this showing, bringing this divine play into this world, it has some increased intensity. Goloka eva nivasatta kilatmabhuto govinda maripurusham tamaham bhajami. I'll just say one other thing, is that hearing so many things, so many questions will come to us. And we'll be very careful how to express them. When and when not, or and how far. Well, once I was asking Guru Maharaj, factoring the many things I'd heard, said, so where are the most superior devotees of Mahaprabhu? If these deep pastimes are taking place in Puri, is Puri superior to Navadvip? Or how shall we think? And Guru Maharaj said, stalwart followers of Mahaprabhu say, Navadvip is superior. Even though these pastimes are taking place there, and that's behind closed doors, Ramananda Srup and the Gangbir, Mahaprabhu Srup Damodar Ramananda. But he presented it this way, by quoting the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, saying, it's a parallel, Navadvip, we're telling Gupta Govardhan, it's Gupta Vrindavan. Puri is Dwaraka. So he's there in Rajvesh in Kurukshetra, the dress of a king. And Puri, Maharaj Vesh, the dress of a sannyasi. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in that famous event where Mahaprabhu returns after 5 years to his hometown after taking sannyas, and when the Ganges is flooded with human heads and no one can drown, and the twigs on trees are supporting human bodies, devas are descending into the world, sado pasya sriman dritta manujakaye pranayitam bahadbi givane girisha parameshra prabhrittibi sabaktevya sudham nijabhajana mudram upadishan satchaitanna kime punar pidashor yashyatipadam. The gods are descending in human forms to have a glimpse of the beauty of Mahaprabhu. Krishna is already inconceivably beautiful, right? He's Krishna, reality the beautiful. Can you improve on that? Can he become more beautiful? He said the sarva bhuta chamatkara, 64 qualities. What if you add 25 qualities to the 64? Radha Bhava Dyuti. What if you envelop Krishna in the heart and halo of Radharani? How inconceivably beautiful Mahaprabhu is. This divine combination of Radha and Krishna combined as one. Only that could be, relatively speaking, more beautiful than Krishna. We can't say, or anything. Radha and Krishna, separate, how inconceivably beautiful they are, but what if they combine? We can't even conceive that. That's Mahaprabhu. Raso dama kamar buddha madura madurojvala tanur jatinam utankshus tarani koti vidyoti basana hiranyanam lakshmi varana biva vakan angika rucha satchaitanikame punarapi dashorya shatipadam. What does Rupa Goswami say? 10 million cupids in full-blown cupidity. That's what Hiranyana, Raso Dama Kamar Buddha. Raso Udama. Raso Utama. Full-blown cupids in their full-blown cupidity. 10 million of them together. This is taking us in direction of the beauty of Mahaprabhu. Hiranyanam Lakshmi, and this gold, inconceivably beautiful golden color that shames gold. Gold will feel ashamed to see the beauty of this type of gold. And what does Guru Maharaj say? Koti kami murchi tangri rupa rasa rangaram. 10 million cupids will faint to see the beauty of Mahaprabhu. So that Mahaprabhu, he is there in Bidyanagar, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is in those pastimes. That his song indicates that he's in those pastimes. And he sees Mahaprabhu on the veranda, on the balcony, and he's from his heart, he's saying, when will Nimai Pandit give up the robes of renunciation and join us again in Navadvip? Like Radharani saying, when will Krishna give up this royal dress of a king and come back on the banks of the Jamuna and play with us again as he did before? That's the mood of Bhaktivinod Thakur and the stalwart devotees of Navadvip. So Srila Guru Maharaj said, they are in the highest position. Their parallel is to that of the Brajagopis and Radharani, how they see Krishna. But of course, the height of separation, it reaches its zenith in Kurukshetra. After 100 years of separation, if they can't tolerate the blink of an eye, how can they tolerate 100 years? So it reaches its zenith there. And what does Guru Maharaj say? His sutra, service according to the intensity of its necessity draws remuneration. That's the important point. Service, according to the intensity of its necessity, draws remuneration. Where is the greatest necessity of service from her serving group? In Kurukshetra, after that 100 years of separation. So Mahaprabhu has two pastimes that he is riveted to. The Kurukshetra, and what's his parallel? Ratayatra. The Ratayatra celebration in Puri is an extension of that moment. Anyara Hridoyaman, Vrindavan, Moraman. Radharani says, for most people, their mind and heart are the same. My heart and Vrindavan are the same. And you can take Vrindavan is a construct of the heart of Srimati Radharani. So Ratiyatra and Puri is that Kurukshetra, 100 years separation point. It's the zenith. And what is the other? Uddhava Darshan, when they're suffering in separation from Krishna and Krishna sends Uddhava and Radharani's divine madness to the Brahmar, the bumblebee, taken to be Krishna in disguise, attempting to see what sort of divine bhav emotions she will express. So Krishna, who knows everything about enjoyment, descends as Mahaprabhu, does his public service of Nam Sankirtan to the people, then privately, behind closed doors, not publicly, behind closed doors, what is expressed at the Ratiyatra is all enigmatic, mysterious. What he's singing, not everyone can see. Swarup Damodar can see. We're told at one point, Nityananda Prabhu, when he's dancing in divine madness, Advaita Charja, Nityananda Prabhu turns and he sees Mahaprabhu dancing before Jagannath, and Mahaprabhu has become Radharani. He doesn't see Mahaprabhu, he sees Radharani dancing before Jagannath. And he turns away not to disturb. If Mahaprabhu will see Nityananda Prabhu, it will bring back another self. So he allows him to be, that's why he's descended. Radhar Mahima Prema Rasasima Jagata Janatake. He wants to reveal to the world Krishna consciousness is Radharani's consciousness. That's what Krishna consciousness is. That's why he descended in the world. To give extensions of her consciousness to others. And it's called Krishna consciousness. She is Krishna consciousness personified. And to an extreme, a degree, we cannot conceive. So Nityananda Prabhu, seeing that Mahaprabhu is turned into Radharani, looking away to allow. How, when we said that heart and halo, the golden radiance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, it says, you know, Hiranyanam, Jati Namu Tangshas Tarani Koti Vidyoti Vasana. His sannyas vesh is glowing. His cloth is glowing gold. So it's like pink gold because of all the radiance from the heart being enveloped in the heart of Srimati Radharani. The halo radiance is turning his sannyas vesh like a golden saffron color, radiating outwards. But behind closed doors with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda, Hare Krishna.